This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina ma yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Today we are on part 3 of our lectures on whether Allah subhanahu accepts our du'as and when Allah subhanahu accepts our du'as. So today we continue with the questions which was asked by the student, and he asked certain questions from a great alim of this era, namely Sheikh Muhammad Al-Ghazali, who wrote his book Aqidat al-Muslim, and he explained in his book the answers that given to this young man. And today we continue with those answers. I must say that I've got a bit of an infection in my eye, so you know how it is when you have an infection in your eye, it affects your whole body. But I decided I must give these lectures in good time so that we can all benefit from it, inshallah. So today we will continue, and we will, last week we ended off by Imam Ghazali stating that what greater ill or what greater harm can a doctor commit to his patient if he knows his patient is terminally ill or has a very serious illness, but he tells him, no, you're fine, nothing wrong with you, just take it easy, rest and whatever you do, and there are no medicines for you. Meanwhile, he knows the man is suffering from a very serious illness and he's supposed to give him medicine. Similarly, he says, he's the ulama of today. They know the community suffers from certain ailments, spiritual ailments, misdirection in terms of their deen, but they overlook it. They overlook it because they're scared of the people. And also they will lose their job at the masjid. They will lose their salary. They will lose everything this dunya has to offer them. But if they do that, then they lose everything the akhirah has to offer them. So we are not of that ilk. We are not of that portion of our society. We say the truth as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had been taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our path is as-sirat al-mustaqim. It doesn't matter what we encounter in that path, we continue to move that path. As they say, we kick the turn down that path and nowhere else. So today he talks about amma al-qawl bi anna as-sahaba kanu yatawassaluna ila Allah bi ashkhas al-ahya wal amwat. فَمُنْكَرْ قَبِيحٌ Subhanallah. Imam Ghazali says, those who maintain and assert and argue that the companions used to, Subhanallah, used to use as intermediaries between them and Allah, the companions of the Prophet used to use as intermediaries between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both the living and the dead. What does he say about this? There are people who say this. Ordinary people, learned people, lots and lots of people. They say, why not? Why can't we go via the living and the dead when the companions of the Prophet had done this? He says this he rejects outright. And it is a disgraceful statement to make. To say that the Sahaba did this is disgraceful. It is munkar. And it is qabih, rejected. So, we've said and we've stated very clearly before that anna du'a al-insan li nafsi wa li ghayrihi matlub. We said that Islam has established that a person can make dua for another person anytime, anyway. I can make dua for you, you can make dua for me. And we know that أن يدعو بعضنا لبعض بظهر الغيب. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم says, if you make dua and the person doesn't know that you're making dua for him or for her. Person asks you to make dua and you remember it and you make dua for that person, Allah will give you the same as what you ask for that person. SubhanAllah. So if you ask for health for somebody else, Allah will give you also health. If you ask for wealth for somebody else, Allah will give you wealth. Whatever you ask, success for that person, whatever, to take the calamity off the back of that person, or to guide that person, Allah, all those things you ask for somebody else, Allah will give it to you as well. وَقَدْ ذَكَرْنَا And we've mentioned this before. And this is found in the Quran on the tongues of who? On the tongues of the Anbiya. We find on the tongues of the Anbiya. فَمِنْ دُعَاءِ Ibrahim, of the dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he says, رَبَّنَ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ. Nabi Ibrahim made dua. Nabi Ibrahim made dua, says, oh Allah, forgive me, forgive my two parents, forgive the believers, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ, the day of Hisab, the day of judgment. And Nabi Nuh made dua, رب اغفر لي ولوالدي ولمن دخل بيتي مؤمنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات. Nabi Nuh made dua, رب اغفر لي, oh Allah, forgive me and my parents, ولمن دخل بيتي, and those who enter my house, believers, and for all the believers, والمؤمنات, male and female. So it's established that we for each other can make dua for each other. The living make dua for the living. The living also makes dua for the dead. Obviously, we make dua for those who passed away. But, all right, we'll continue. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabi Nuh again, Nabi Nuh says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ Those who come after them, in other words, those who come after those who passed away, we should say, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ We should make dua, رَبَّنَا, our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brothers and sisters, سَبَقُونَ بِالْإِيمَانِ, who have passed away on the words of Iman, on the words of La ilaha illallah. So we are, this is what is encouraged in Islam, making dua for one another, to make dua for one another. And of an example, and this is very important, because there are those who believe that you can make dua via the dead. This is not part of Islam. Even if it's a prophet, even if it's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we'll give examples. So what is the topic today? What did we start off by? We said that those who claim that the Sahaba made dua via, it was a very important word, via living or dead. In other words, you say, oh Allah, accept my dua via Faiq or Muhammad or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba didn't do that. We said the Sahaba didn't do that. All right, now let's see what they did. Talaba Umar. Umar ibn al-Khattab, there was drought in Medina. And this was in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He was the Amir. And he went to Abbas. Abbas was at that time, the closest relative to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was alive. Abbas was the closest relative. So Umar went to him and said to him, asked him, أَنْ يَدْعُوا اللَّهَ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ that he should make dua. Umar said, you know, you're the closest living relative of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We regard you as a man of the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he raised his hands and he made the dua And all the Muslimin, including Umar, said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Now, those who say that we can make dua even via the living, they also quote this. Remember we said, you can ask somebody else to make dua, but to whom must he make dua? He must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can say, oh Allah, Muhammad asked me to ask you for this and for that and for that. But I can't say, Ya Allah, with the barakah of Muhammad, please answer my prayer. Oh Muhammad, or the barakah of Sheikh Faik, or the barakah of Sheikh so-and-so, or the barakah of Wali so-and-so. No. You can't do that. You can't intersperse anything between your dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, oh Allah, he asked me and I'm asking you on his behalf. So the dua always goes directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm telling Allah I'm doing it on behalf of my friend. I'm asking him. He asked me, he wants a good wife. I must ask him for a good wife. So Ya Allah, I'm asking you. Not via anybody. I'm asking you directly. He asked me, but I'm asking you directly. Now, the problem with this incident is of Umar asking Abbas is that people never quote the actual dua that Abbas made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that will clear up the, if you have doubts. What was the actual words that Abbas used? Bayyana Az-Zubayr ibn Bakkar fil Ansab, this alim, talks about this and quotes the dua that Abdullah ibn Abbas made in his Kitab al-Ansab. And he says this was the dua that Abbas made asking Allah for rain. Now listen to the dua. Allahumma, O Allah. Listen carefully to the dua. O Allah. See if you find in here a via thing where he goes via somebody. They were standing right in Medina in the Prophet's masjid. He could easily have said, oh Prophet, ask Allah for rain. He didn't. Not allowed. Not allowed. You can't say, oh Allah, by the barakah of Muhammad. Not allowed. Not allowed. Oh, I'm asking via Muhammad. No, can't. That's shirk. Why? Because you are putting somebody to... What did we say? What is dua? Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Dua is ibadah. Dua is like salah, like zakah, like hajj, like fasting. So it should be done purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abdullah raised his hands, Abdullah ibn Abbas raised his hands, and he said, oh Allahumma, oh Allah, lam yanzil bala'un illa bidham. He said, oh Allah, trials and tribulations do not come down from you illa bidham, except by our sin. When we commit a lot of sins, we realize and we admit that that is the reason that we are suffering from this trial. So who is he talking? He's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, Ya Allah. Same with the pandemic. The sins that humans created that brings about, and that brings about the pandemic and what other illnesses we have, and tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us through. وَلَا يُكْشَفْ إِلَّا بِتَوْبَةً. And the sins that we commit, oh Allah, Abdullah ibn Abbas says, and oh Allah, these sins that we commit can only dissipate, disappear, go away, except with tawbah. So he says, Ya Allah, we admit that we have done wrong. And that's why we are tested in this particular way, with little rain or no rain. And Ya Allah, we know that we can only ask you to send rain if we make tawbah. Then comes the crux of the dua. وَقَدْ تَوَجَّهَ بِي الْقَوْمُ إِلَيْكَ لِمَكَانِي مِنْ نَبِيِّكَ. And he says, the people have come to me and ask me to ask you, O Allah. Not via anybody, not via Umar, not via Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, people have come to me to ask you because of my relationship to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's all. Relationship. Not via the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No. Because of my relationship with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَهَذِهِ أَيْدِينَا إِلَيْكَ بِالذُّنُوبِ So it's very clear that he's saying in his dua, people have come to me to ask me to make dua because of my relationship with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm of his Ahlul Bayt. I'm of his, the house of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he says, Ya Allah, I'm raising my hands to you filled with my sins. We are raising our hands to you filled with our sins. وَتَوَاصِينَ إِلَيْكَ بِالتَّوْبَ And we come to plea with you to forgive us. فَاسْقِنَا الْغَيْضِ Please send down rain. Subhanallah. So you can see the whole dua is what? Pleading at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was Abbas's role in this dua? That he was asked to make the dua. Dua wasn't made via him. He didn't say, Oh Allah, they ask me to ask you via me, they're asking you via me. No. He said they came to ask because of my relationship and closeness and family relation with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But this doesn't mean that we should only seek out those that we think are good people to make dua for us. Because we can't judge people. Yes, they could just judge Abdullah ibn Abbas in that time, Umar judging to be a good man. But we can't go around and say, well, I'm not going to ask him to make dua for me. I'm going to ask that one to make dua because that one looks like he's a better person than this one. No, you can't do that. Unless you're absolutely sure of the life of that person. Somebody rocks up here on our shores, he lands at the airport and he comes from some Arab country and he's got a beard and he's got a vulsun on his head and suddenly he now becomes the man. We know nothing about this man. Absolute zero. Later on we will find out. Then we ask this man, well, the man comes from Canada, or he comes from the United States and he wears a beard and he speaks Arabic and suddenly now everybody asks him to make dua. And then we discover afterwards there's a case against him in Canada of theft. Or the other man has done something else. Subhanallah. No. Dua can also be asked of any other person. Because Allah accepts from whom He wills. وَقَدْ طَلَبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ عُمَرْ أَنْ يَدْعُونَ When the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard that Umar was going for Umrah, he said, Oh Umar, please make dua for me. Who was better? The Prophet alayhi salam or Umar? Prophet could have made dua himself. But he asked Umar to make dua for you. Just to show there's no one shouldn't make distinctions. Ask everybody to make dua for you. Wa amar Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Jumhur al-umma an yad'u lahu. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked, had in fact commanded for the whole of the ummah to make dua for him. Don't we put salawat on the Nabi alayhi sallam? Aren't we commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put salawat on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? All of us. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِي يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا Surah 33, verse 56. This is Surah Al-Ahzab. The 33rd Surah, verse 56. Now, what does it mean? Verily Allah and His angels put salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O you who believe, put salawat on the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. what does this verse mean? What is it? What is it? What is this verse saying? It's very important. This must remember for the rest of your life. What is this verse saying? Inna Allah, Allah and His angels put peace and blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Oh, you who believe, put peace and blessings on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, when we put blessings on the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are we doing? We're making dua. Why is it a dua? Why isn't it that we put salawat on the Nabi alayhi salam? Why am I saying it's a dua? Because when this verse was revealed, Sahaba were curious. They went to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, so Allah commands us to put salawat on you. How must we put salawat on you? Aha, this is the big question. Why did they ask that? Because putting salawat on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an act of worship. Why is it an act of worship? Because it is commanded by Allah. And dua is an act of worship. Do you say that? So putting salawat on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a dua. You are asking Allah to put salawat on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, how must we put salawat on you? They wanted to know. So this hadith narrated in Sahih Bukhari, volume 4, hadith number 589, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, he said, Ka'b bin Ujra met me and said, shall I not give you a present I got from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Rahman said, yes, of course, give it to me. Prophet gave you a place, and he says, yes. He said, we asked, when this verse was revealed in Allah, verse 56 of Surah 33, when it was revealed, Sahaba immediately asked, so how must we do it? So he said, we asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how we must put salawat on him. And he said, say, listen now, you know the words, I want you to concentrate now. He said, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is how you say, put salawat on me. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. How must we put salawat? We must say, oh Allah, you put salawat on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because all du'as must go via who? Only via Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I can't say Allah, I can't just say sallallahu ala Muhammad. No. Allah put salah. No. I can't say Ya Rasul salam alayka. Why not? Because Ya Rasul means, oh Prophet, salawat upon you. I can't address the Prophet directly. Can't speak to dead people directly. Prophet ﷺ said, say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Oh Allah, you put salawat on Muhammad ﷺ. So how do we put salawat on Muhammad ﷺ? We ask Allah to put salawat on Muhammad ﷺ. Of course, we know the rest. Wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. Take you back to the first word. اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ. Oh Allah, put salawat on Muhammad. صلى الله عليه وسلم. There are some very silly people who make maulid, for example, and they put an empty chair in the room where they make the maulid or in the masjid. And they say the Nabi sits on the chair. When we say Ya Nabi Salam Alayka, O Messenger, O Nabi, peace be upon you. Then they say, the Prophet is present and sitting on that chair, and we are addressing him directly and putting salawat on him. Totally contrary to what the Quran says. Totally contrary to what Bukhari says, narrated by Bukhari, this hadith. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Oh Allah, it's a dua to Allah, because dua can only be made to Allah directly, not to the Prophet directly. Not to me or to anybody else. Every dua must be Allahumma, oh Allah, Allahumma. What did Abbas, how did he begin his dua? Begin the dua, Allahumma, oh Allah. Teach your children, please. So many of the scholars say, Ya Rasulullah, oh Messenger of Allah, is wrong. Why? Because you can't address the messenger. You ask Allah to put salawat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the angels to take the salawat to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know this, and yet we flaunt the law. We disregard the law. We know the hadith that the Prophet is revived that time, and this our greetings and our blessings is given by the angels to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the command of the Prophet alayhi salam. This is how he puts Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim until then. That is the complete salawat. Why is it the complete salawat? Because that was given by Muhammad himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about his own salawat on himself. This is how he puts salawat on me. All the rest that we do is all additions that we've added by ourselves out of love for the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when we go wrong also with the wording, every time we step into the realm of dua or in the realm of adding what the Prophet has taught us, we step into a dangerous road. Why? Because we're not doing what the Prophet told us to do. We do our own thing. The Omen says, Aya Bakarechi. All right. So that's a very important point. So remember, the dua is addressed only to Allah. So you can't say, Ya Hussein, the son of the Prophet, like the Shia say, Ya Hussein, do this for us. Ya Hussein, do this for us. I mean, they have this, they hit themselves and the only name them is Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein means you use the word Ya to address somebody who's in front of you. The word Ya is used for somebody who is present. Can't say Ya to say, you can't say, call somebody's name and he's not there. It's crazy. So, this alim says, he says, people say Ya Hussein. The Shia Muslims also say that. Because remember, the whole Sufi system is based on Shiism. The whole edifice of Sufism, the wall and roof and center, all based on Shia teachings. This alim says, Imam Hussein was killed at Karbala. This alim says, he makes a statement, he says, إن الحسين لم يدفع عن نفسي وهو حي. He says Hussein could not defend himself when he was alive. Couldn't. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides who dies when and how. Hussein died. He was killed at Karbala. Even his family. He couldn't defend himself. And he was alive. فكيف يدفع عن غيري وهو ميت. Salim says, how can he defend other people when he's dead? If he couldn't defend himself when he was alive, how is it possible for him to defend people when they're dead? This is Allah's realm of activity. Allah does this. Allah defends us when we are alive, And Allah defends us when we're dead. We can't defend anybody when we're alive, not even ourselves. Never mind when we're dead. قوله تعالى, and he says, the alim says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذَا ظَلَرُوا فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. And those who say that we can call through the dead, they quote this verse from the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا, when those who have wronged themselves, جَاءُكَ, come to you, O Muhammad, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهُ, and they ask Allah to forgive them, and وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ, and the Prophet also asks Allah to forgive them. لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. They will find Allah forgiving and merciful. What does the verse say? People came to the Prophet when? When he was buried? No. When he was alive. They came to the Prophet when he was alive. They asked him to ask Allah to forgive them, and the Prophet asked Allah to forgive them. Allah says, Allah forgave them. This verse, he says, the alim says, it is quite clear. It's clear as daylight. This was fi athna al hayat, la ba'd al maut. This was during the lifetime of the Prophet. They came to him. Ja'uka, Allah addressing him in the present tense. When they come to you, O Muhammad, obviously he was alive. Because if he was dead, we would have all followed him. Allah would have said, when they came, when they go to the Prophet's grave and they ask him for forgiveness, astaghfirullah. But Allah doesn't say that. They said, Ja'uka, they came to you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam, when they committed errors and sins. And he says now, he says, the Sufis have lots to say, lots of interpretations of their own about this. And he says, if this is true what they're saying, they must bring their proof from the Quran and Sunnah. And we know that the sources of ma'rifah, of knowledge in Islam, is the sources of knowledge of the Sharia is clear. And we do not have, he says, فَلَمْ نَعْرِفْ مِنْ مَصَادِ التَّشْرِيعِ, of the sources of the Sharia, that a person, a رَجُلُ صَالِحْ or فُلَانًا صَالِحًا, or a pious individual, رَأَ فِي مَنَامِهِ كَذَا وَكَذَا, dreams and sees in his dream this or that. أو أَنَّ فُلَانًا الْمَجْدُوبِ, or a person is possessed. خُيِّلَ, he says he's you know, he's got something inside him. He's, you know, he's spiritually advanced and enlightened and so forth and so on. And he says when he goes to the Rawda, for example, and certain things happen to him, and he sees certain things, and certain things get told to him. He says this is not part of the source of Sharia. Person can't come and say, I dreamt that there's a grave on Signal Hill. You must dig something there called a darga and become sawali. So you see all of them, you say it's green cloth. Well, when I studied in Pakistan, every corner had a green cloth with a stone on it. So well, who's here? No, it's a sawali buried there. How do you know that? You didn't even dig under. No. So and so dreamt. And so we now may come into ayah. I remember I made a lecture at Gatesville, and one of the brothers stood up and he said his father told him that his grandfather, or anyway somebody, went to Medina, and when he stood in front of the grave of the Prophet's hand came out of the grave and greeted this man. He he quotes exactly the same example. So it's not something which only happens to people quote in South Africa or our grandfathers and mothers. Well, he says, if this is the case, that the Prophet did greet somebody by putting his hand out of the qabr, he's either a liar, kadiban, so there's no value in whatever he says, or he's possessed by a bad jinn. And he imagines, and his imagination has no value to us. So either he's possessed and he's imagined. You know, people speak things when they are possessed, or either he's crazy, he's mad. وَنَحْنُ And Imam Ghazali ends when he says, وَنَحْنُ لَا نَدَعَ كِتَابَ رَبِّنَا وَسُنَّةُ نَبِيِّنَا لِهَذِهِ الْحَكَايَاتِ. He says, and we, meaning the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, he says, we لا ندع, we do not put aside كتاب ربنا, the book of our Lord, وَسُنَّةَ نَبِيِّنَا, and the practice of our messenger, نَبِيِّنَا, our prophet, لهذه الحكايات, in accepting these stories. Why should we do that? Why should we accept a dream of somebody who dreamt, who's not a prophet, comes 1,400 years later? Why should people believe that when it's not part of the sources of our deen? So if somebody comes along, doesn't matter what he looks like, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't say, you know, he looks a lot of noor on his face, mashallah, but that doesn't make him an alim. That doesn't make him a scholar. Similarly, the kurta doesn't make me anything. It just covers my aura. But it is what I say of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what I say about the Quran, which is important. In other words, what comes out of my lips, even if I'm completely paralyzed, what comes out of my lips? If what comes out of my lips coincides with the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I accept it. What comes of my lips or any of the other lips from the Quran, and it's a true reflection of the Quran and a true interpretation of the Quran, I accept it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, may we imbibe and not memorize, but use this always in our lives. Listen to it continuously. If I'm gone, play it to your grandchildren, to their children. Pass it on. Pass this knowledge on. So that we'll always remain committed and steadfast on the Sunnah, the Quran, and the Sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.